Vegas.
Vegas Hosting is your one-stop shop for all of your hosting needs. With up-to-date, state-of-the-art equipment and in excess of 20 carriers servicing the co-location facility, your website is always up. Vegas Hosting offers packages as low as $5.99 a month with no contracts to sign. Visit Vegas Hosting on the web at vegas-hosting.com or call toll-free to discuss your needs at 1-877-286-1052. That's 1-877-286-1052. Vegas Hosting. Hosting with us is not a gamble.
Spinning Wagon Radio.
Oh, shit.
You know what that means?
It means that you didn't pick a good intro.
I picked a beautiful intro. Everyone out there loves it. We have enough listeners, and they like it.
Bullshit. They're talking about Akari's road trip to L.A.
Well, that's because the show hasn't really started yet now, has it?
Then how can you tell that they're actually talking about anything?
How about I just go with blind faith?
Blind faith.
Works for your barber.
Wow, man.
You are listening to
Spank Wagon Radio, only at spankwagon.net.
I'm your host, Trencher.
I, of course, am the irrefutable Claude Balls, the quadraphonic Ayatollah.
Amongst other things.
Yeah, of course.
And we're back after a wonderful day out at the Las Vegas Convention Center for SEMA.
Ooh, Akari's up in Tujunga Canyon. Going
listening?
Not listening.
Like, wow,
but that's a redneck area. Tujunga Canyon, California is known for, you know, meth labs.
Really?
Ah, yes.
And you know this how well?
Because I grew up in L.A. and had to go through drug training.
Got it. Anything blow up there frequently?
It happens every once in a while.
It's really nice when meth labs blow up in the Midwest.
Yeah, it was really, I don't doubt it, man. I've been reading up on meth. Very interesting drug.
You know, I was reading online newspaper back home how, you know, the anhydrous ammonia tanks are getting ripped off again. You know, what's worse is when you find garden hoses next to anhydrous ammonia tanks. And it's like, dude, what are you? Ah!
Well, the thing about it is with methamphetamines, typically it has a golden to a brown color. That's due to the anhydrous ammonia. Hence, you can tell what region it comes from, typically Iowa or Minnesota.
Okay.
Pinkish color will typically be from the western states right there, as they use household ammonia and or propane.
Damn. And people put that shit into them willingly.
I went through that Varco vocational class, man.
That's insane.
It was great, man. It was for anybody who was interested in becoming a police officer or wanted to go ahead and had to go through like any kind of reform school thing, you know, for at-risk kids.
So basically, at-risk kids had to learn about drugs.
It was fucking
Wait
great.
A minute. Wouldn't at-risk kids be the first person to know about any drugs? Or
You know what? It was taught by a couple of cops, and they taught them anything and everything they needed to know to get
very
away
cool.
from the law.
To
you don't
away.
Have to comply with this. They can't take your photo. Really? Well, I want to complain about the officer. I'm like, okay.
Interesting.
It was great. You crank up my volume?
A little bit.
Thank you. It's
You're
about
welcome.
Time.
Anytime.
But no, it's really great, actually, going through those classes, learning all this stuff. You know, people are like, you know, poppies are the official flower of California, the golden poppy.
Mm-hmm.
And then going through a class saying, with a razor blade and, you know, some wax paper, you can take the flowers outside the DMV office and make heroin.
Nice. Nice.
And that was in high school.
Hey, that's educational. Hey, real quick, before we get started and dive in, if you want to check out the show, of course, we have our live chat going. You can go to the cam chat link. You can see our ugly mugs. As a matter of fact, let's get the ugly mugs up on the monitor. Or not.
You can't operate the...
Is it cam? There we go. We got some mugs. What's going on with the cam tonight? And we got our guest mug.
You broke the camera, Con.
Yeah, what's going on here, Con? Mr. Studio Tech, it's really
Studio
slow.
Oompa Loompa, man.
No, it's cool. It's cool. We're just giving you shit, dude.
His friend comes in the middle of our show to use the bathroom.
Yeah, ruins our... No, don't move that. Oh, great. Now it's an earthquake over here. Great. No, actually, real quick, you can get into the cam and chat. You can chat with us live. You can check out our ugly mugs on the webcam. And, Claude, will you please give them the phone number?
There's the numbers. Shit, that sign's gone. All right, let me gear up and do the special effects. Toll free 1-866-LV-ROCKS, local Las Vegas 338120. I got to get that on like a
soundboard. We need to get
soundboard.
That on someone professional. That'd be nice. All right.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be a very interesting night. A lot of shit to talk about.
A lot of shit to talk about, but actually, let's, because I already know that we have a guest in the chat, so they, you know, they're like, holy shit, they have guests.
It is plural, the webcam does not lie.
That isn't your dead father.
No, it's not my dead father.
That's a change, because, you know, last week kind of sucked. Nothing really, your dead dad wasn't really conversational.
Typically, urns don't answer you back unless there's a magic eight ball inside.
You know, you really ought to think about that. That'd be kind of cool. Just shake your dad up.
Let's go ahead and recap for the listeners that may have missed us next weekend. Our guest, last week's guest was my dead father.
For Halloween.
Yes.
Every year we kind of just do that. Yeah, bring his dad's ashes to the studio here.
That's right.
Or the old studio. And
proves we're hardcore.
Yeah, or sick, as some people have called us.
Hey, he'd have thought that was funny if he was alive.
Yeah, that's actually in the archive. So, hey, we finally have that in the archive, so you can download it later on.
Exactly.
So why don't you go ahead and introduce our guests?
Okay, well, tonight's guest we are here with Dr. Bob of Chicago, or at least a suburb. Yes. Turn the mics on, you dumb bastard.
That might help.
Thank you. Okay. I'm sorry. Once again, Dr. Bob.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, we're from the Chicago area.
All right.
Been there for almost 54 years now. We live on that west side of Chicago where there's a lot of wacko card people and a bunch of wacko politicians.
Right. It is Chicago, after all.
Yes. Oh, yes.
That's right. They recently, I think Illinois elected someone by the name of Obama or something like that and lost to the other guy.
Yes, Barack Obama.
Barack Obama.
Who the hell did he lose to?
Alan Keyes.
Alan Keyes, that's right.
Alan Keyes is running. Alan Keyes, like, got, what, 3,000 votes?
Something like that. But his daughter cost him a lot of votes. Their votes.
Yeah.
With their lesbian blog.
Yeah, her lesbian blog. Not that it hurt Dick Cheney and his daughter being lesbian, but I guess she's not a lesbian blogger, so therefore it's not as damaging to the media or to the
credibility. I don't even know what Dick Cheney's lesbian daughter looks like. Unlike Alan Keyes' lesbian daughter, who we've seen just smooching around.
Yeah, that's true. Very true.
She was doing homemade dental work.
Now, we're serious this week when we actually say that, you know, unlike some of our people in their hangout in their chat room who call themselves Reverend, this is actually legitimately a doctor, a PhD in, is what?
PhD in.
Was Claude told me? Okay. Yeah. What's your PhD in?
Occupational Safety and Health.
Okay. So, Occupational Safety and Health.
Oh, by the way, I almost forgot. We have our second guest here.
Why don't you get up a little more into the mic there? I'm not getting you on that one. Hold on.
Hello?
Hey!
There's a little red button here.
You don't hit the red button.
Okay, anyhow, I'm doing two things. I thought you were going to continue on. I got the chat room going on right here.
I got the chat room. Don't worry.
Okay. And, like I said, your name, of course, is Ryan?
I'm Ryan. I'm Dr. Bob's son.
All right.
He's also an editor of a magazine.
You're an editor of a magazine. Very interesting.
We're all about free plugs. Go for it.
Oh, by all means.
Plug anything you want.
We do the Prairie Light Review Literary Magazine at the College of DuPage, and we've recently written software that will totally manage all of our submissions.
Awesome.
Very nice. Very nice.
So a school
paper?
Literate.
Yeah, it's a school paper. It's a 96-page magazine. It's color and black and white artwork that we get from the community, and we vote on it, and we publish it for the school.
Awesome.
Yeah. That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
Very cool.
And you, of course, you also have your own business as well.
Yes.
And you're one of the foremost leading experts on hazmat cleanup when it comes to black mold, I understand.
This is very true, yes. Mm-hmm. We just published a book last year on mold and its health effects and the worldwide standards, as opposed to this United States that claimed there aren't any standards. There, of course, are standards in 13 countries throughout the world. But, you know, the United States has a very myopic view when it comes to regulating safety and health or public health, so they kind of misinform the public regularly about what's really going on.
Well, hey, you can't blame them when money's on the line, right?
Oh, yeah, well, you know, mold is gold, you know.
Exactly.
If we can get people totally paranoid about mold and think they're going to die from something called the black mold of death, which really doesn't exist, then we can make lots and lots of money off of them.
Awesome.
Fear is a powerful tool.
Hey, this is America, after all. And we're built not on winners, but on losers. Broken dreams make great mortar. Las Vegas is proof of that.
No kidding. And actually want to talk a little bit about that. You know, the whole fear and thing, you know, presidential campaigns last week.
Ah, yes.
You know, our president, I don't know where you stand. I guess according to some people, especially some people here at the studio, I'm a bleeding heart liberal. And I felt that the campaign that the Republicans used was a fear campaign. And it succeeded. A lot of people said. A lot of people in exit polls said that, in fact, they were happy to vote for Bush because they knew they would be safe.
True, but there's also a separate side to that as well. The Democrats had a shitty campaign to go ahead and get Kerry elected.
Forgot his name already. That's effective fucking campaign.
Hey, but no, what they did was like the Republicans. I registered Republican because, one, I want my vote counted. Two, I go to the primaries to vote for the weakest people. So I got stuff all the time for pre-filled out absentee ballots that already had Bush's name checked on them. Democrats, I've seen what they sent out. All it was just like a balanced ticket type thing. They showed all their candidates for the local elections piled together. It was pretty weak. It's like they were trying to save money.
Well, considering that their amount of money was only 80% of what the Republicans raised, it made it a little bit shortcoming.
Okay.
Yeah, the Democrats were not aggressive. They didn't fear-monger to the people. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, in this country, people just buy fear. Mm-hmm. They're mm-hmm. more comfortable thinking and ignoring the real social issues and thinking that someone's going to come over there and bomb them or poison them. And, mm-hmm. and then the Republicans pulled out that lousy shot with the influenza virus just in time before the election. Isn't that coincidental?
So you have all this media that's pushing this fear-mongering, and it makes you think they're probably the real terrorists. Because what is a terrorist except someone that makes you afraid?
It's very, very, very good point. Very good point.
Now, I think we need to do this for the chat room and the listeners. We need a little bit more background. First off, either one of you two, explain how Robert or Claude, explain how you brought Dr. Bob here onto the show.
Ah, well, basically, of course, he's another DeLorean owner through the Internet. There you go.
Another DeLorean owner through the Internet.
Yeah.
There you go.
Well, a little bit more than another DeLorean owner.
I'm sure his runs.
Ouch. My car runs, too, okay? It has a smoking habit. But no, you have a very special DeLorean, by the way.
That's very true.
You have a Back to the Future replica.
Correct.
That you hand-built yourself.
Yes.
Wow.
It took me 8 years. It's the only DeLorean in the world that has a aluminum V8 Rover engine in it. Mm-hmm. The only DeLorean in the world with full-size power windows. And
full-size, like full,
yes,
not the total.
Yes,
full.
For real friggin' windows.
Wow. We have told several stories about how when I'm riding with him in the summer, little window goes down. Loaf of bread window. I stick my arm out just to catch enough air to blow across my face. It's heinous. A real how. I got it. We're going to go into Krager talk. Sorry, chat room, but.
Well, I'll tell you how I engineered it was I did it exactly the opposite way of the way windows are built in cars.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what made it possible. Because the drive mechanism is on the outside of the door rather than on the inside of the door.
Right.
And interestingly enough, when I finally built it and published an article in DeLorean World magazine about the windows,
mm-hmm.
2 weeks later I got a call from John DeLorean.
Okay.
And he calls up and introduced himself as John DeLorean, which I halfway didn't believe, but hey, I played the game.
A phone call out of the blue, who's going to believe that?
So sure enough, it was John DeLorean. And he said, how did you do it? And he said he had people working trying to figure out how to build those windows for 2 years. They couldn't do it. And then I explained to him what I did, and his comment was, you're a damn good engineer. And it does. It changes the whole characteristic of the car. You can go cruising. You can wave to people now. You can go through drive-thrus. And we're actually working on doing a second car now.
Okay.
And we'll be publishing that work in progress starting next year.
Okay.
Right on.
We may try to improve it even beyond the original design, which
really
could be interesting. Yeah.
Very, very interesting, because my engine is on its last leg. It's given its all after a quarter century, and it's ready to die. So I myself right there have been eyeing how many miles? Less than 60,000. Overheated 10 times.
Oh, that's death for an engine, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. That it is. So, I'm starting to look at Land Rovers right now and going, I wonder who could steal that for me so I could get the motor.
There you go.
It's very funny. I've actually run into a lot of people yelling at me for just driving my car here in Vegas. Telling me it belongs in a museum. I shouldn't be doing that.
Even I will say that I'm even one of the type, keep mileage low. I mean, I do that on all my vehicles.
Right.
I keep my mileage low, my muscle car. You know, when you yell at me, I say keep it low, drive it, but keep it low. You're like, drive the shit out of it, you know.
Well, the reality is most DeLorean owners have more than one DeLorean. So they have a show car,
mm-hmm.
and then they have one they drive for fun.
Okay.
And I'm a firm believer that if you have a classic car, you should drive it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm against trailer queens. You know, if it's a trailer queen, put it in a museum where it belongs. But don't try and convince me that's your car, because it isn't your car. It's your museum piece.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
whereas you know me with my car as well, I use a odometer simply to brag.
Yeah, and that's true. How many miles? Take a look. A lot.
Well, that's really low. Yeah, it was even lower when I first got it, sitting at 18,000.
Mm-hmm. So anyhow.
But yeah, you've actually run into something we've discussed on the show previous before. We have a common dislike for George Barris.
Oh, this is very true. Yeah, he's not one of my favorite people. He at one time tried to expropriate my DeLorean and claim it was his, and it was his Back to the Future car. And George Barris and I had a few ugly words over that and told him that, you know, it's my car, belongs to me, doesn't belong to you. And then he threatened that if you ever try and display that as a Back to the Future replica, he would sue me, which, of course, he can't. He doesn't have the right to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And Universal Studios really doesn't care what we do with our cars, because there's a lot of DeLorean Back to the Future replicas out there.
Okay.
And if anything, it helps promote their ride, which if we don't promote it real a lot, it's going to die.
Yeah, they've actually been talking about they're going to close that down.
Yeah.
No, Orlando, definitely.
Okay. Real quick, anybody in the chat room or anybody listening, and George Barris, everybody should know him. He built
the Munsters
Roadster.
Car was built from three Model A's. He built the Dragula, which actually got 8 gallons to a mile.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. He also did a bunch of other cars, like the Hirohito Coupe.
He also did, I want to say he was the one who did the Batmobile for the 1966 show.
Yeah,
I want to say.
No. No, he did not.
Why am I thinking he's the one who did that one?
Because he simply licenses it and then claims
right.
to have
claims done. Ownership, same as what he attempted to do with your car.
Right.
Got it.
Right.
Extort.
Actually, George Barris has been sued before, too. There was an owner who bought a car from a Florida museum that said original Batmobile from
That's
the series.
That's correct.
The guy got it home and looked at the VIN tag, and it was a Ford Torino.
Oh.
1972, so it was built
right.
afterwards.
It was built right. way after.
Yeah, and he dropped $150,000 on a fake Batmobile.
So he sued Barris. He won back his cash
mm-hmm.
and got to keep the car.
Wow.
Yeah. Because they actually had Barris said, well, I didn't say it was the real thing, but he had the actual signage that came with a car and pictures of it when it was up in the museum.
Yeah, Barris goes around the country and has cars on display at museums, which he claims
are legitimate.
Barris is, in all honesty right there, if you've ever seen like a lot of cars right there, when Barris's brother was alive, Barris's brother was building customs. He was doing a lot of the work. Barris is a hack. He can't do shit. I wouldn't trust that some bitch to do an oil change.
Right. Yeah. Real quick to interrupt, you are listening to Spank Wagon Radio.
Only available at spankwagon.net.
And don't forget, we're gonna open the call-in lines here in a little bit once we get into our main topic, which we sort of touched upon earlier this afternoon as we commandeered a table at SEMA and totally pissed off some booth junkies. Like, you're in our seat. Well, yeah, fine.
Can I help you with the products?
It's not like you had a lot of customers there.
To begin with, really. The other guy was okay with it. He's like, oh, excuse me, let me move my notebook. The other guy's like, what are you doing? You're in my specialty tractor seat on a stick chair.
I took my time to distract the salesman and point out the problems with his design.
There you go. That's kind of fun to do, actually. We did that last year. We went to SEMA last year, and they had this company that made an iron-on, like, decaling for seats or door panels or anything like that.
That was horrible.
So we decided, you know what, we're going to fuck with this guy. Just started tearing it apart. Well, what happens if we want to remove it? Oh, what happens if it starts peeling? How much is it? Oh, you have a specialty tool to put it on? Little, like, soldering iron with this big metal wedge on it, you know, just, we're like, but that's just a soldering iron. I could do this with a hairdryer, right? No. So anyhow, yeah, we like to tear apart some of the stuff that you see there.
Yes, some interesting people at SEMA.
Because you have some great-looking cars, great-looking stuff, great-looking products, and then you have what looks like basically a dilapidated swap meet down on one end of the building. It's like, whoa, yeah, you put decals on clocks, and you're selling Mopar clocks. Ooh.
Right.
So.
Yeah, very interesting.
Oh, okay, let's do this then. Actually, let me get that going first. Spank, Wagon Radio, you're on the air.
Hey, Trench, this is Airwolf.
Hello, Airwolf. What's up?
Yeah, I need to ask Dr. Bob about what did you think about the kit replicas that are out there?
The kit car replicas from Knight Rider.
Knight Rider.
I think they're interesting, but they're very simplistic. The real Knight Rider cars could do a lot more intricate electronics on the inside. Those, unfortunately, have not been reproduced and probably never will because they're fairly complex.
You know, I would have a gas pedal that lit up. I would absolutely have the light-up gas pedal in my vehicle.
They do sell those, by the way.
Okay.
The hell with both of you. Bigfoot gas pedal.
But, yeah, I'd really like to see a Knight Rider or other vehicle kit where the computer interfaces so you can have the vehicle do things and write software to have the vehicle do things. But
instead of just flashing lights, have some functionality.
Have some function. Well, I mean, there's
such as what? What kind of features do you wish your car had that you could go ahead and do that with?
Well, one of the projects we're actually working on right now is a computer interface where the sound that's being played in the vehicle will play a 20 by 20 panel display in the tail lights, so you can have bouncing tail lights to an acoustic audiogram frequency while you're driving the vehicle.
Imagine a bank
so
of 400 LEDs, 20 by 20,
mm-hmm.
an equalizer setup.
Hey, Dr. Bob, can you speak up a little bit?
Actually, it's how the output comes from the phone.
Oh.
So if you have a way to turn up your phone, that'll work a little bit better.
It's maxed out.
Okay. Sorry about that.
That's all right. Well, I'm just going to get back to listening to the show, guys.
All righty. Thanks for the call, Airwolf.
Yep. Bye.
And Airwolf is located in Iowa, I believe.
Yeah, he's also located in Waterloo. Anywho, so basically a 20 by 20 cell.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Of LEDs, they're red and they're in a red taillight casing
mm-hmm.
so that when your sub bass hits, your taillights will bounce to the music.
Okay.
That's interesting. Kind of makes you worry, though, about liability, though.
Oh, in terms of the police pulling you over for that?
I'm not worried about the police. I'm worried about the morons who would actually drive with that on. You know, the people who would, I'll just show off any way I can and then get pulled over by the police.
Yeah. Well, Las Vegas, land of five LCD monitors and one driver.
Exactly.
They're all on. But no, yeah, see, computers interfacing right there, it's kind of interesting to do right there. One thing myself, I'm really skittish about that. Number one, I don't like General Motors vehicles. They're very kit car-y plastic seat. To me, they're crap. But they've not told anybody this. Starting the 2004 model year, we're now going into 5, they actually have a recording device on them.
Yeah, you're tracked.
Yeah.
Oh, constantly.
Yeah, absolutely.
As a matter of fact, we were discussing this in last week's show. We had some older old people drive off the parking ramp over at the Golden Nugget downtown here. And what happens is this is the second time this has happened this year, mind you. Something happens, they panic, freak out, who knows what. Mechanical, no one knows yet, but they'll actually hit the barrier wall to this, you know, to the ramp. It'll go over, and then so will they. So we've had it, and actually we've found out that those cars actually have a black box in them that records like the last bits of data. You know, why are you accelerating? Were you braking?
Yeah.
Were you doing this? So yeah, we're finding out about that. Like, we've had these in the cars. We'll just conveniently use them, and they show video of a guy with a laptop pulling data from the car.
What concerns me about that is all of a sudden I get pulled over by the police. Let's say it's a burned out taillight, and all of a sudden then they plug in and say, you were speeding, so, you know, it's within, you know, the statute of limitations, so I ticket you. Stuff like that really worries me in the sense of there's limits to that.
There have been a number of legal cases already where people were hurt and they have subpoenaed the computer record from what they thought was the offending vehicle, and they've used those records at trial against the people. And I think that's wrong. I mean, just because there's a computer box that says what you're doing in your car, that driving is a skill where the driver makes a judgment as to what's right or wrong thousands of times a day.
Mm-hmm.
And just because we have a bunch of laws, that doesn't mean the laws are actually correct and what's the right thing to be doing when you're driving. Typical example, everybody's going at 80 on a highway. What's the safest speed to be doing?
80.
80. Been proven in studies by Allstate.
Mm-hmm.
The speed limit is irrelevant. And there's also been studies of drivers that show drivers drive at the speed at which is appropriate for judgments that need to be made.
Mm-hmm.
So you have a neighborhood where they pass some stupid speed limit like 15 miles an hour. It's irrelevant. Fact is, you can do that at 30 miles an hour and be just as safe as whether you're doing 15.
Mm-hmm.
So these laws that they have for traffic safety really are arbitrary.
Used for profit management.
Yeah, it's revenue enhancement is what it's done
right.
for.
Right. Yeah, well, I mean, yeah. that's the old joke. You know, end of the month, you know, you're going to see a lot more cops out there. They've got to get their quota. They've got to get their profit. Right. You know, speed traps, very classic example. There was this one town, I don't even remember the state. That
it was in Ohio.
It was Ohio, yeah. They had the speed trap set up. That
there
was
were a township and that was about 2 blocks long.
And that's their main income. $400,000 a year was done on speeding tickets.
Yes.
You know, $400,000 a year for... Well, how big was the township? Probably only about 100 homes, maybe.
No, the thing was the township right there had like no homes in it.
Oh, really? So it wasn't even
because ooh. Right. And what they ended up saying is the judge ordered them to surrender all the money back of this. It's a big legal nightmare because there was no mayor or anything else like that, and there was no city council to override any of their actions control. They were not legally a township.
Okay. So who was making the money?
Well, basically, for this one township, you had a chief of police and all of his friends and relatives that he hired on.
Okay.
So and they were pulling about, I think it was like 6 cops. They were doing something like at least minimum $458,000 a year in speeding tickets.
Oh, not bad if you can do it illegally, whatever.
What they did is there was a 50-mile-per-hour zone going through the town, and when they're one township, they drop it to 35.
Well.
You're pretty sudden that way. You know, you're going to get you're going to get that ticket. You're going to be pulled over, but
yeah.
Let's go ahead and do a change of gears, so to speak.
SEMA's been very interesting, too. I can definitely tell you that.
SEMA this year was okay. It wasn't as interesting as it was last year. Last year seemed to be a little more interesting for me, but it was a first year as well.
There were more race queens last year.
Oh, yeah. Booth bunnies.
Mm-hmm.
Booth bunnies, definitely. But you were just going to bring something up. Something you brought up there when we were chatting at SEMA, and something you just tried to bring up, like the flu shots. What was that? You were going to go on?
This influenza vaccine thing in the United States is such a scam. Mm-hmm. First of all, there are 100 different countries in this planet right now that make their own flu vaccines on an annual basis. So if you need a little bit more flu vaccine, you can just go shopping all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly...
Let me interrupt here, sorry, but the flu vaccine itself, same strains, different strains? I mean, what's the control there?
That's where it starts to get really interesting. If you look at the umpteen hundred different strains of flu vaccine, which strains of virus that we can make into a vaccine. CDC on an annual basis kind of shoots craps and says, well, we think maybe next year this is the strain is going to come out. Well, statistically, their record has been only 1 out of 3 years do they ever get it right.
Okay, that as to which strain of flu.
Right.
So you're telling me that 2 years out of 3, you're getting the wrong shot for the wrong strain, and you're just going to get the flu either worse or...
Or it'll just get the flu and it'll have no effect on it at all. Now, here's the scary thing. There was just a study done in Finland, and it was published last week in Lancet, where it said that if you got flu shots for the last 5 years, for those people from age 20 to 35, those people had a 50% increase in Alzheimer's when they turned into their 60s.
Holy crap.
Interesting.
So...
Based off of the flu shots that they were receiving.
Exactly. So there's some interesting statistics coming out that flu shots may not be such the greatest thing to be
doing. I've never had a flu shot.
Neither have I. Yeah. Even more happier now to say that.
Especially. Yeah. I've always been somebody who's basically just said, well, if I'm not sick, I'm not going to take anything. And when I am, I usually let it just simply go ahead and try to pass naturally. You know.
You want right. to. I mean, my opinion is you have something like that pass its course.
Yeah.
You over-medicate it, now you're going to have, like, the problem we're having with the super bacteria is that, you know, first we're invading hospitals, now we're starting to invade, like, entire apartment complexes at a time and so on and so forth.
Yeah,
venues.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, sports venues now, people are getting, well, hell, look down at the California here or the Flamingo down on the Strip.
Right.
You know, strains of viruses that are going around, Norwalk virus on cruise ships, shit like that. Not cool.
Yeah, Norwalk virus on cruise ships are an interesting phenomena. I mean, you didn't hear about it 15, 20 years ago, and what's really changed on cruise ships is they tightened up on their wastewater treatment so they can't dump their doo-doo into the water anymore.
Really?
Yes.
See, and according to maritime law, you can, if you're in like the international waters, dump a certain amount of raw sewage that's been unprocessed.
Not anymore.
Really?
Yes. You can't do that.
Hmm.
It could cause too much contamination in the ocean. So now, when you get virus or flu, you're shedding all kinds of viruses in your shit. Billions and billions of them. So now they have to store that. And unless you highly chlorinated or whatever, you're not going to kill it on the ship.
Right.
But as you know, it's in this big tank, and that tank is brewing. It's coming out on an exhaust port somewhere on that ship.
Yeah.
And if the room is blowing the wrong way, guess where it's going back into?
Airborne
the
bacteria.
Ship.
Very interesting.
Yes.
I never knew that. I always figured it was filthy foreigners.
Oh, jeez.
Hey, man, I just go by what the media tells me.
Oh, the media. I don't know if the media has ever really said that.
Hey, check it out, man. All I know is the flu comes from Asia.
It does. It does.
Yes.
You are correct. It comes from China. It comes from duck shit.
Mm-hmm.
And duck is the major reservoir within the planet for influenza virus. So,
dirty foreigners.
Yeah.
Dirty ducks.
Unclean gaijin.
So some guy wanted to go out over to China and kill all the ducks. Oh, well, that won't get rid of the virus.
So then, if the ducks brought the flu, I mean, then let's take a look at what happened with SARS. You know, what was it, last year's big epidemic that now isn't getting the media, but I'm understanding that it's still there.
Yeah.
Just doesn't get the media, doesn't get the scare media that it was a couple years ago, and especially even in Toronto. They, you know, their tourism board said, no, shut up. There's no such thing as SARS, you know. Basically, is from what I'm understanding. Now,
Thailand just had 4 cases of it, and I think 2 of them died. It's at a low level. Its degree of contagion does not seem to be as high as was originally conceived. But if you go back to the 1917-1918 pandemic, and that's the greatest fear of influenza. That stuff was so contagious and so fatal that's what we're all afraid of from an influenza point of view.
Right. We don't want to relive that part of history, even though we seem to not be able to stop stuff like that from occurring.
But, the question I raise, and this is the whole concept of why we were able to get rid of polio and smallpox, is if you kill off the people who are sensitive to that virus, who don't have natural immunity, then the rest of them don't get sick.
Mm-hmm.
So if the 50 million people that were killed in 1918, 1919 from the influenza virus were the ones who were susceptible, then there really isn't a risk anymore of influenza and all this flu shot stuff.
There should be a risk. Yeah. In other words, okay. As you're saying,
because the rest of the population grew out of people who didn't have
the right. The survival of the fittest.
Yeah.
Darwinism, pure and simple. Pure and simple.
Yeah, letting people die. There's an interesting subject that gets disagreed with a lot here. Yeah. I believe that the way to cure starvation is to let everyone die. I'm tired of feeding them again.
You live in the sand.
Well, that's the Australian government philosophy. Back in the 70s when these people were malnourished, Australia said, we will give you food providing you practice birth control. No birth control, no food.
Yeah.
You'll solve your birth problem one way or the other, dead or...
You'll stop the population increase, control the population, the death rate, the mortality rate.
Right.
And
it's like all these people in Africa who are starving. Well, you look at those pictures. What do you see? A bunch of little kids. Didn't anybody ever tell them, if you don't have kids, we'll have more food? If it was if this had just happened within 2 years, this has been going on for 100 years over there.
Oh, yeah. And it's worse now because of AIDS. And what the thing with AIDS is, which really even makes even more pestilence in Africa, is actually a common belief that if you have sex with a virgin, it'll kill off the AIDS virus. So rape is huge in Africa.
Absolutely.
Nothing to do with violence or anything like that, simply because everybody's looking for a cure.
Yeah, you think that's a convenient rumor, similar to the if you go kill yourself as an Islamic terrorist, you get 72 virgins?
That's right up the same alley,
exactly.
I mean, it's misinformation, and the problem is that everyone enjoys misinformation. I mean, I'm convinced of that because no one ever seems to want to take the accurate or proper information or the time
because
to find out the proper information.
Because it's too much work. Because
lazy asses.
Lazy asses, nothing right there. It has
simple.
Nothing to do with going, I don't want to learn. Nobody says that specifically. Nobody wants to be ignorant, but no one wants liability.
Right. No one wants to have their opinion confused by facts.
Mm-hmm.
They'd have to start thinking at that point, and that really hurts.
And especially if it's something all of a sudden is going to contradict like a old belief, and to tell them suddenly, guess what, you're wrong.
Yeah, and you don't want to do that. Let me interrupt. You are listening to Spank Wagon Radio.
Only available at spankwagon.net. Call now, 1-866-LV-ROCKS, local Las Vegas, 383-8120.
You can join in the conversation in the chat room by clicking the cam chat link on spankwagon.net. Call in if you have any questions for Dr. Bob or other guests. I forget your name.
Ryan.
The quiet one.
Yeah.
They're like, jack up the mic. We're like, it's all the way up.
Yeah, whenever you feel, whenever you want to right there, just go ahead.
Pipe in.
Oh, sure. Well, I have an interesting anecdote. We're talking about overpopulation. I was reading this one book by the name of Daniel. His name is Daniel Quinn, and he had an interesting analogy where if you put 10 mice in a cage and you put 10 pieces of cheese in a cage, then you're going to have an overpopulation of starved rats. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't pass out little rat condoms to teach them how to control their population.
God forbid trying to put them on.
Yeah, so you have 10 rats, you got 15 rats. So either the rats starve or you put in 15 pieces of cheese and you contribute to the problem. So we're never going to be able to solve our overpopulation because we're as ignorant as rats.
Fair enough. Okay, but so you're basically saying in that case then, cut some of the goodwill. I mean,
Yes. I'm tired
throw
of
throw antidote aside. You just cut the goodwill. You know, cut the egg.
Let them die out. I got to be honest with you. I got to fucking be honest with you, dude. I'm tired of feeding poor people in Africa. Mm-hmm. There are children in America that starve. Children that we could feed them. We could raise them up to be productive, not only members of society that fit into a mold, but, hell, great engineers, architects, things like that, to further modern society.
Okay.
What the hell are we going to do in Africa? All we're going to do, and I'm sorry to say this, man, but we're just going to breed militants.
You're absolutely, you know, with all of our technology, why can't we invent a sterilization ray gun? Where you could just kind of walk down the street in Africa and go zap, 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 and no more kids.
Because the minute you invent something like that, it's going to get misused.
Some things they've been working on right there. They have a lot of wonderful crowd control items now. They did try something similar to that here in America during World War II. What they were doing with brand new babies is they were subjecting them to intensive X-rays and they were sterilizing them.
To what end? Just as an experiment.
Here in America, yes, they said it was supposed to go ahead and actually cure, certain childhood diseases rather than inoculate them with, a chemical.
Okay.
They're going to do with X-rays.
Basically,
just experimenting. That's all.
Yeah, I mean I remember seeing it. The University of Iowa hospitals, they had a whole museum set up of X-ray technology and so on and so forth. And one of them was a fluoroscope. That was a pretty big, hefty unit, floor-sized unit. I mean, this thing was like 10 by 6 or something like that. Well, what you did is you put your foot in, and you could see your foot through the fluoroscope, you know, see the bones and the tissue and whatever. So frivolous, because they didn't understand what was going on.
Yeah.
You know, they didn't understand, oh, this is really serious shit. This is radiation, basically, we're dealing with here on this high of a frequency.
Yeah, it's like, doctors just go, X-rays are safe, see? You know, and they always do that every time to a patient.
Here's a lead vest, oh, great, a lead vest, but I got my arms. Oh, and radiation doesn't flow in a perfect line all the time. Yeah. You get scatter, hence radio waves, we get skip, we get static. That's going somewhere. That's
like when I broke my
focused.
Arm when I was in junior high school and I had to go get it x-rayed.
Mm-hmm.
They handed me a plate and said, hold this in front of you.
In front of your gonads.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They don't want to nuke those now, God forbid. Anywho.
But no, yeah, like say, lots of experimentation going around on people as well. And we were talking about that as well earlier. The Sunshine Project. It's in Germany. Sunshine Project.net or .com.
Okay.
It's a German organization, nonprofit, and what they're doing is they're actually going through and monitoring a lot of governments, specifically the United States, what they do for experimentation when it comes to germ warfare.
Okay.
We're also discussing this as well, the White Plague now.
Yeah, I only caught bits and pieces. I was jotting down notes for tonight. Could you re-explain that for us, Claude?
Basically, what happened is during the study of Alzheimer's and various other diseases such as sickle cell, which only affects people of...
African-American.
Negro
heritage.
Can't say African-American because it's not like it's something here in the water.
Right, okay.
Anyone of, African heritage.
You sure a lot of stuff is in Lake Mead.
Yeah, well, it actually affects a greater percentage of those people. It also affects a larger percentage of Jewish people. And, in fact, when they traced back the evolutionary beginning of sickle cell anemia, it actually began, I believe, about 1200 A.D. within the Jewish population and then spread from there.
Interesting, very interesting.
And it's a genetic defect, but you're right. It, the latest research is an R32 chromosome or gene.
Yeah. What they're doing is they're saying like, okay, well, things such as Alzheimer's or sickle cell, they're affecting certain people that only seem to have these genes. What can we do to treat this? So in the process of trying to unlock this to go, what can we do to counter this? They discovered why it happens. Hence, they are now able to genetically engineer certain types of viri and bacteriums. okay. that will only affect people of certain, you know.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, that's
this also began with, who the hell is it? It's not ConAgra. It's the people, it's a DuPont subsidiary, chemical company. What they're doing in the Midwest right now is with genetically engineered corn.
Oh, that's not nothing, anything new.
No. This is new. What they're doing is they're asking the farmers to please reseed with your crops with fresh seeds every year. Farmers aren't doing that. And what happens, of course, is it's going to mix in with other strains of corn from the wild, you know, as everything
it already
pollinates.
Has.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and yeah. then it modifies away from, you know, whatever it has there. And, of course, in the process, it becomes susceptible, again, to pests. Mm-hmm. What they've done now is they're working on the final engineering steps of that, where what will happen is after the first season, the corn and certain plants like that will release a specific toxin that we're immune to as humans, but
so we hope.
But it will actually destroy the plant's reproductive ability.
Hmm. Right. In other words, a limited life cycle for a plant.
Yeah, and that's some of the research that's gone into this to be able to create certain plagues like that.
Okay, very interesting. I mean, growing up in the Midwest, you know that corn already has been, always will be, if not genetically engineered, you know, it's selective growing and so on and so forth.
Right,
with
but
like strains.
But like checking those strains, that's right. where they've come up with this new technology.
Okay. The only difference between genetic and engineering and hybridizing is genetic engineering is more efficient. But hybridization of food crops and other things has gone on for almost 1,000 years. Mm-hmm. The
bananas being the greatest example of
right,
that.
Right, right. But in the 60s and 70s, before genetic engineering took place, what the industry did is they would expose seeds to radiation and a chemical known as ethylene oxide, which would cause all kinds of mutants. Mm-hmm. And the net impact was they would grow mutants and see which ones were more desirable. And they accelerated the hybridization process. Mm-hmm. From an evolutionary standpoint, they probably did 500 years worth of evolution within a 20-year period.
Okay.
So all that's changed between the 60s and 70s and now is now we just go in and directly manipulate the stuff. But prior to that, we had already been genetically engineering stuff. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily a good thing.
Definitely not, because we don't know what effects that'll have.
You know, and you just mentioned bananas. I mean, bananas, they're saying now, are ending their life cycle.
Bananas are not ending their life cycle. Bananas are very unique. Let me explain.
Well, I'm what I've read is saying they're to become extinct.
They're going to become extinct, but not because they're going to end their life cycle. The problem with bananas is this right here. Real bananas that you find naturally occurring in the wild, they're all seeds. There's really no fruit inside.
Okay.
And those that you might have with fruit with are very bitter and they're disgusting as hell. They don't look the same as bananas. They're going to be like brown.
Okay, sort of like platanos.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But nastier.
Okay.
And most of them, like I say, they actually have huge amounts of seeds in them. Now, with bananas right there, when you open up a banana right there, you see the seeds. It's almost like a seedless grape where it's had its reproduction killed.
Okay.
So what you do is you have to take two types of different bananas and you have to crossbreed them. And then you come up with a new hybrid of the typical bananas you know now.
All right.
The problem is these don't exist in the wild, and they're very immune and susceptible to a certain type of fungus, which they cannot build an immunity to.
Okay.
That's actually what's killing them.
All right. Fair enough.
I believe it was in the early half of the 20th century we actually had a problem where bananas were damn near extinct at that
right.
point, too.
Right.
Because of the same fungus?
I don't know if it was the same one, but I believe
it was.
They did a lot of fungicides, and they finally killed it off, and it went away, and everything's been fine. But within about the past, I think, 2 or 3 years, it's popped back up again out of nowhere.
Interesting. Okay. Interesting.
Well, you know, it's a similar concept of the mad cow spread in England. You have a problem, you kill it all off.
Mm-hmm.
And we've done that for many years as disease or crop management. We kill off the stuff, and hopefully the stuff disappears back into its natural reservoir. And here you have a fungus making another comeback, and you know, makes you wonder with all the stuff going on in our environment now, because it's mm-hmm. it continues to degrade. Mm-hmm. Are we not? I mean, certainly we've affected the immunity systems with our own human
yeah.
beings. Are we now affecting the immunity systems within plants?
Mm-hmm.
And if we are, and there's a good chance of that, then yeah, we could have some serious things go on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Perhaps we could share an anecdote of what really caused the Salem witch trials.
Please do.
Why not?
Religion's a favorite discussion here, too.
There's a number of books and papers written on it, but the Salem witch problem in this particular country was caused by a fungus known as ergot. And ergot produces a toxin similar to LSD and an additional set of nerve toxins.
Mm-hmm.
And when you eat wheat that contains this ergot fungus, you hallucinate and have virtually the symptoms that were described by all of the quote witches in Salem.
Right, really. Gives you
and
a trip.
Right,
yeah.
A trip and causes neurological seizures, which they had. And the Salem witches were actually poisoned by ergot fungus, and because of the ignorance of the people at that time, they were killed because of a fungus infection.
So
now, here's where it gets stupid.
Okay.
There was an ergot fungus outbreak in St. Elise, France, I believe it was, in 1950. Mm-hmm. And thousands of people ingested ergot, and the town was going kind of wacko. So the French public health authorities came in, figured out what it was, and decided, well, okay, we got to destroy this wheat. 6 people died, 40 became permanently insane. There wasn't a little bit of ergot. There was a lot in this stuff.
Yeah.
And it was
obviously a high concentration.
And, again, it comes down to money. The one French farmer didn't want to pay his taxes on his stuff, so he bogused it to a bakery to avoid the taxes. But the net result was, afterwards, the town needed to hire a Catholic bishop to go exorcise the bakery because the people were still believing it was caused by witchcraft.
Yeah, because people want to believe. Again, my opinion, you know, I'm a recovering Catholic, as I like to call myself. You know, what I notice, a lot of people, they cling on to that religion because they need something to believe. They don't know what to believe. They want someone to kind of tell them what to believe, or you know, they want that belief.
Hey man, it's a lonely place, especially when you think about the hereafter. People need a little something right there.
True.
And in some cases, some really extreme cases, they also want a little something to kind of go ahead and justify anything they do.
Yeah,
excuse. You know, they'd rather have the excuse that evil caused me to do something, or evil is doing this.
No accountability.
Yeah,
it
exactly.
Also takes you back to the fact that fear is almost more comfortable. If you are fearing a God figure, it's almost more contenting than the idea that you might actually have your own free will. Sometimes that's too much for some people to handle.
Totally.
There's a lot of things too much for some people to handle.
Yeah.
Your neighbors are one.
My neighbors are one. Now, we've just kind of brought it full circle, so I think that's going to be a great time to go ahead and
we're going to take a break.
Take our break. We want to thank our guest, Dr. Bob, and I forgot the name again.
Ryan.
Son Ryan.
Son Ryan. I'm horrible for that. We do appreciate you showing up here on Spank Wagon. Any plugs you guys want to give out right now?
Websites, et cetera.
Websites, books.
www.brandmuffinindustries.com.
Brandmuffinindustries.com.
So you're a baker.
Oh, no, that's
with that special wheat.
Oh, yes, the trippy wheat, absolutely.
And www.safety-epa.com.
Do you see? You want to go ahead and plug your book, too?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's on the website, sure. Worldwide Standard for Mold and Bacteria. And it's in its 4th edition printing right now. And
Not quite my idea of a good read, but
no,
is it like textbook? It's more textbook-ish?
Oh, no, the first chapter in the book. The thing about the Salem witch trials, that's in there.
Okay.
There's a whole bunch of historical anecdotal information relative to mold and what it's done.
Mm-hmm. And the real reason we brought down Mir is because it was contaminated with mold.
Yeah, well, that's a definite given. I remember reading about that, and now they're looking at that about the new space station, especially with the oxygen regenerators breaking down and some of the more creepy stuff that's growing up there that they don't know. You know, the molds that are brought up from Earth to space.
Right. And again, you don't want mold to become a fear-mongering issue. How many times you see on the news, oh, it's the black mold of death.
Actually, out here, it's horrible. Out here, they will exploit it like you wouldn't believe.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
Yeah. So if you want some intellectual reading on what is really bad about mold and what isn't, what is hearsay and what's truth, you can check it out, www.safety-epa.com.
Excellent. Very good. Very good for the homeowners, too.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
So we appreciate you guys coming onto the show. And we'll go ahead and cut to a break. I think Claude has some sort of music to play for us.
I always have music.
All right, why don't you cue it up? And by the way, we'll be back.
Spank Wagon Radio. Thank you.
Do you have
Vegas Hosting is your one-stop shop for all of your hosting needs. With up-to-date, state-of-the-art equipment and in excess of 20 carriers servicing the co-location facility, your website is always up. Vegas Hosting offers packages as low as $5.99 a month with no contracts to sign. Visit Vegas Hosting on the web at vegas-hosting.com or call toll-free to discuss your needs at 1-877-286-1052. That's 1-877-286-1052. Vegas Hosting. Hosting with us is not a gamble.
What's my name? Say my name, bitch!
We are back.
That's right.
After everybody had to listen to that wonderful MIDI music break. What was that, by the way?
Kraftwerk.
Nice.
Autobahn.
You're listening to
Spankwagon Radio. Only available at spankwagon.net. We are the ultimate radio show. We are the voice of the Lord. If he had his own internet radio show.
If Jesus had internet. Hey, by the way, we want to say another thank you to Dr. Bob, our guest we had in the first part of the show.
Yeah, he's gone now.
He is gone now.
He went to eat.
Yeah, he had to relax. He was out in the steam all day. We figured, you know, don't keep him and the entire brood that was out in the green room there waiting.
Dude, he had a posse.
Dude, he had a straight-up posse. I mean, there was like five people that walked up. I'm like,
I get this call on the way here. There's five people here. Where are you at?
I wasn't expecting five people. I was only expecting it, maybe him and his son, but awesome stuff. By the way, that'll be in the archive. And remember, I'm going to say this right now. Listening to Spankwagon Radio will raise your IQ. There's some proof. We have a legitimate PhD doctor on there.
We had a doctor, man.
Even though everybody was like, when did this turn into Art Bell? Well,
it wasn't really Art Bell. I mean,
not yet.
Yeah.
He will be back.
He will
Dr.
be back.
Bob will be back on the show.
Because he has a lot of interesting stuff to talk about.
And we just have to talk about it. All right, coming up.
We should have got a picture of him for the show, man.
Oh, we should have for the website. We'll work on that some
other
time.
Yeah, we will.
We definitely will. All right, right now, I think, do you want to do props, celebs? What do we want to do right now, second hour?
I don't know. Do you really think the people in the chat room are deserving of these supposedly mad props?
You know, we have Reverend Hammer, who finally got a day off from work. I'm sure that it's worthy for that.
Yeah, you know what?
I mean, you got to be a professional cart pusher, sure, but you got to have your Fridays off once in a while.
You know, man, white man's burden.
Yeah, what can I say?
Wait, I got to show my face?
No, I'm scratching line.
Oh.
Well, you got sideburns, but that's another thing altogether.
I'm also trying to grow a mustache and a goatee.
Yeah, Ikari goes, hey, now it's time for the Bukkake jokes.
Goddamn. Bukkake joke every week now.
Jesus Christ. Right. We try to go intellectual.
So
everybody's like, Bukkake joke.
Yeah. We're going to be serious here on Spankwagon.
Bukkake.
Jesus Christ. There's no pleasing you people. Sometimes you don't want to listen to the people.
Yeah, exactly.
So there's these two men of the Polish persuasion, and they walk into a bar.
Polish persuasion?
Don't you
Polish persuasion? Could you say it any nicer?
I always love that, though, when people say Polish persuasion or urban persuasion.
Urban.
Like somebody said.
Urban. You live in urban. You don't. You are not urban.
Is that the way of saying black?
That's PC. Are you of the ghetto persuasion?
I just love that when people say Polish persuasion, because it's like, Mark, you know, I'm going to persuade you to be Polish, man. I think you'd really like it.
I'm sure I would.
Have you ever considered being Polish? I mean, you know, there's a lot of advantages. Never having to change your own light bulbs being one. Not having to take responsibility. Here's some pamphlets.
No responsibility. There you go. The ultimate Polish trait.
I'm
Polish! Ha ha! Crash.
Here's some pamphlets I want you to take home. Read them over with your wife.
Oh, thank you.
And consider converting over to Polishism.
Oh. Thank God they have photos. I don't think
repeat.
I could do that.
In, out, repeat. Persuasion.
Persuasion. Anywho, Spankwagon Radio only at?
Spankwagon.net. We are the ultimate in internet radio. We are the alpha and omega of the internet.
Don't forget, you can always check out the website, spankwagon.net, the alpha, omega, blah, blah, blah. We have the archive. So if we're not live,
we are in the archive. That's right. Coming at you live from the archive, pre-recorded.
We'll pretend it's live.
Yeah, call in even. Yeah, still want you guys to call in.
Yeah, don't.
We
do
need
that.
To have an answering machine here.
We do. We really need to get something.
Hey, you guys, what's up, man?
Yeah, but the problem is we get an answering machine. It's going to be one of those ones that has, like, the crappy tape cassette, you know? Like, the full-on, full cassette. We're like, ka-chink, hold on. No, that's a telemarketing.
You know, we have a phone here. We should, like, put it to good use, but I don't know anybody to call.
I don't know. Do you know anybody to call? Want to order pizza? The delivery guy's already here. Oh.
Oh, we are just giving you feedback.
Oh, actually, he can't deliver right now. He had to bum a ride off of you.
Hey, man.
So that means you got to go deliver his pizzas for him.
Is it why we got to do that, dude? Do I have to plug in, like, Little Caesars into my, like,
cigarette lighter?
Cigarette lighter.
Look at that. He's giving us that look of, fuck you guys, shut the fuck up. And he laughs, chuckling nicely, like, you're funny. Fuck you.
Yeah,
your free studio time is up.
It's that laugh of, I'm retreating now because I know where you live and we'll do things later.
I have my phone number, so I'm worried. Say what? I don't know.
No.
We said Little Caesars.
We don't know what pizza shack you work for.
For all we know, you don't. He
pizza
works at
slut.
Pizza Slut. All right.
Dude, that's a movie.
Is it?
Yes, it is.
Oh, very cool.
Okay, all right, quick segue. Once upon a time, you know, when I worked at M&M's World, we took a field trip to the adult superstore.
And
we were going through the movies. Pizza Slut was one of them.
Nice.
And the strangest film I ever saw in my entire mortal life.
Hmm.
Go fuck yourself. Dudes with, like, big 12-inch dicks.
Jesus!
That were wrapped around in their own assholes.
Ah! I mean, the best porn video I've ever seen, the title was Party in My Tight Wet Pussy. I'm like, whoa, who's wearing the hat, you know? But no.
No.
By the way, we have a one of the studio engineers.
Oompa Loompas.
Yeah, he's a studio engineer. The Oompa Loompa is his usual friend that hangs out here as well. Anywho, so if anybody's wondering who the hell we're talking to. Say what?
Did I see Cliffhanger?
Cliffbanger.
Cliffbanger.
Porn titles, I love them.
I've heard of that.
I've heard of Edward Penis Hands one. So
my friend, his favorite video was this one called Backdoor to Happiness. It was all 1982 natural bush anal sex.
Oh, I mean, that shit was braided front to back.
Dude, it was fucking nasty, dude. It was fucking gross, dude.
I think we just hit the lowest common denominator now.
No.
82 anal.
No, we haven't.
In 1982, anal sex.
No, we haven't.
Oh, okay, how could we?
Well, aside from, you know, the nature's natural lubricant, saliva.
No, let's not go there.
It was disgusting. Nobody, like, bothered to, like, you know, bathe before, dude. So, like, it was kind of this dude, like, you know, was Caucasian when he started and looked Latino by the time it was over. Yeah. It's worse when they go from anal to mouth. Backdoor to happiness.
1982 Mountain Man Bush.
Mountain Man. Giddy up.
Get up here. Just get your ass up
here. Goddamn microphone.
Fuck up here. What are you? This should be number 5. It's already on.
Yeah, go ahead.
By the way, what's your name? Just so people know.
The
It's on.
It's on.
Oh, okay, the anonymous.
The anonymous.
Okay, you put some headphones
on. Mr. Anonymous Porn.
Mr. Anonymous Porn.
How about the Sperminator? You see that one there?
Sperminator, no. We can look these up, though, but I'd lose my concentration.
Yeah, he'd be too busy looking up porn titles. Thanks, you just ruined the show.
Not that it's porn, just the fact I'm surfing the internet going, yeah.
How about when Harry ate Sally? You never heard that one?
I've never heard that when Harry ate Sally. Oh, shit.
There's a dime a dozen of them, man. They come out with these, like,
well, I know
spoof
that
ones that are, like, cliffhanger. And
yeah, you can make a lot of money,
Lord,
right?
The Lord of the G-Strings. I remember seeing that one. That's a softcore lesbian porn, Lord of the G-String.
I've seen that.
And they also have the Planet of the Sheeps.
No, there's the Bear Winch Project.
The Bear Winch Project.
Oh.
Planet of the Babes.
Planet of the Babes.
Oh, okay, that's kind of not as funny, but...
Yeah, but the Lord of the...
Total Reball is another one.
Total Porn title.
I have
title.
Seen that.
Everybody, quick, look up a good porn title. Total Reball, though, I think is... Ooh, between when Harry ate Sally.
Stop reacting!
Edward
Teenage. Arnold here.
By the way, Kilroy in the chat room says Edward Penis Hands rules. He has seen Edward.
There's actually someone that has actually seen that movie.
Wow! Yes, Kilroy says that. Hey, third person on the cam, that'd be you.
I will pump you up.
Don't fucking start surfing for that shit now.
I'm just gonna pull it up real quick. I got to see a box cover.
He's got to see a box cover. All right. Why don't we go ahead? Oh shit! Where are we at?
You're right. Well, you do learn. You do learn a lot of things on this show.
You do. Absolutely. We are higher education internet radio right there. If we could give out credits and fake diplomas, man, we'd be printing them out right now. Anywho, shall we cover some news, or do you want to hear Edward Penis Handling sucks?
Yeah.
Johnny Depp on what?
Johnny Depp on Edward Penis Hands.
Actually, it's Johnny
Deep.
Hey,
dude, there's a part two.
It's Johnny Deep. Stars in Edward.
Johnny Deep. Got it. Nice. Oh, my God. Dude, that is hilarious. That is absolutely hilarious.
And this is part two.
This is part two.
There's a part two?
You see this guy? He's like fake goth. So he looks like, you know, Robert Smith, sort of. With a look of, ooh, me?
Johnny Deep stars in.
Oh, there's three!
Oh,
there's three! The first one looks somewhat, yeah, like they would in a normal movie.
Johnny Deep in.
And there's Sicky Nicks. That's what it says right
dude,
here.
Dude, Sicky Nicks, that sounds like a garbage pail kid.
Yeah, so what it is.
Come on, where's the back image?
Oh, he wants the back. Oh!
That's not too bad. Let's see. I'm sorry.
Oh, hey, there's another one.
You already did too.
There's Forrest Hump.
There's Forrest Hump. I've seen that.
Have you seen it or have you just...
I've heard of it. Excuse me. No, I'm not quite the porn connoisseur as you two gentlemen are. I have a wife and, you know, I'm healthy in that way. But no, I'm not quite the porn connoisseur.
Dude, look at these big... Look at these, like, screen caps.
Horrible screen caps, dude.
This is absolutely fucking anus, man.
Anus?
Well, that one looks like anus right there.
That's totally anus, man. Anus, man.
The sperminator.
Two hens with a mind of their own. It seems that the passage of time hasn't changed the lascivious Edward. He is still the wondrous Paul Norman creation possessing two roving hands, but with a single thought. The legendary Fred Lincoln makes a special cameo appearance as old Edward.
Who the fuck is Fred Lincoln? The legendary who?
Who?
I have, like, no clue.
This guy, I'm a legend in what circles? Come on now. Let's
like
be real.
Other ones? No.
So, anyhow.
You know it's another one, too, as well? Hold on.
This is what happens. You get him on the line. He's like, dude, I know this great website. Click, click, click. Oh, pop-ups. Hey, I want $1 million. Click. Click crazy.
You have been approved.
Supersize that clit. And it's in stock.
Asses galore 4, extreme noise terror, Mistress Kane, lessons in.
You know, anything I said about gaining an IQ point before the break, we have flushed that down now.
I don't know.
They're going to listen to this in the archive. They're going to go, oh, we sounded great. Click, click, click.
What do you want to see? Supersize that clit or let's play clit hockey?
Hey, right there for you, man. Clit hockey.
What is that? Clit hockey.
It's a lesbian film. Yes, definitely all lesbian. So there you go. A little bit of clit hockey. You two can play Weekend League clit hockey.
How do you play clit hockey, dude?
Well, no matter what, you score, right?
Yeah, I think so.
There you go.
Well, I don't know. I don't know how good her defenses are.
Well, you got to be careful, man. You might get a real bitch. She has a really tough goalie. Anyhow, get the fuck out of there.
Why don't you
cue up music? We can give mad props. I think that's what they're waiting for.
Dude, there's this movie called The Terror from the Clit. I was trying to look up the box cover. It's zombie porn.
Oh, yeah, we've talked about that.
They dress up as zombies?
Yeah, they have like makeup and shit right there.
Total zombie is a zombie
orgy
fest.
Dude, these two, and it's gore. There's gore in it, too. Like, these two zombies go, and, like, this chick gets it on with them, and, like, does this undead DPC.
He tears off her leg or something?
After that, they, like, tear her apart and eat her. There's another one where this guy, like, he's like, starts getting on with a zombie
chick.
When he
eats her out, he really eats her out.
Eats her out, yes.
Mm, brains. Higher.
All right, let's get to mad props. Claude.
Yeah.
Let's play that music.
Yo, Caro taco smell.
Dude. Ladies and gentlemen, it's that time in Spank Wagon Radio where we acknowledge you, the listeners, the faithful, the brave, And the ones who actually forced us back into bukkake conversations after we gained an IQ point and sounded legitimate for once. Thank you, fucktards. All right, let's give it up for the first man in the list, Airwolf!
Mad props.
As our guest just chuckles at this shit. Let's give it up for the man of the hour. Or at least tomorrow, maybe. He'll be the man of the hour. Oh, forget it. Chizad!
Mad props.
Hey, he's at work, and that means we can say things like, bukkake porn!
Well, our next guest brings up a very interesting point in the chat room we just typed in a couple of minutes ago.
What?
He's waiting for a live-action version of The Legend of Overfiend.
Dude, no.
Yeah, that'd be pretty
Legend
good.
Of Overfiend live-action. Legend of Overfiend's one of the most, ooh, hentai, or, you know, Japanimation porn. Yeah, most extreme.
Most only guys know it, yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure you know of it. Do you know of it?
I've never seen it, but I've heard of it.
Okay, yeah, that's good start.
Anyhow.
Let's give it up for Ikari Work.
Mad props.
Hey, he's joined the chat room for more than just the last 5 minutes of the show. That earns a little bit extra props. Let's give it up for Kilroy.
Mad props.
He's not pushing carts. That means he's here in the show. Let's give a mad prop thank you to Reverend Hammer.
Mad props. Ah. And double props for Reverend Hammer from getting the day off tonight.
From pushing carts.
Yay, carts.
Let's give it up for the man.
Thank you, Reverend Hammer. You keep the dings off the cars.
I don't even know what he really does there, but...
Well, I don't know, but
we'll
it's
just assume it's pushing carts.
He could be like a store director for all
jizz
we know.
Mopper, yeah.
Jizz mopper at Walmart?
Don't go down the toy aisle. That's all I'm going to say. Let's get
fucking A, dude. You're pretty fucking scary, dude.
Anyhow, let's give it up for the next man in line. Hey, you should have something really interesting posting.
You should have noticed he's scary by the hat he's wearing.
NHRA, what? Huh?
That's the only thing I can think of.
Yeah, okay.
What? What the fuck is that all about? Yay,
fucking
he's scary because a guy is
scared
of
death.
A guy, a grown man with an NHRA hat in the toy section at Walmart.
Oh, yeah, good point. What if he has kids?
Soon. Don't have any excuse for another few months. Anywho. Anyhow, let's give it up for the man who should have something interesting to post a spank wagon sometime soon. Scope.
Mad props. For derailing the train of thought there.
Yeah, thank you. It represents in the chat room, he hasn't pushed carts in more than a year and a half. Wow, that's a pretty... You still have your job and you don't do anything? Wow, amazing. Hey, let's give it up for the next man. He owns a duster, too. Send me more parts. Hell, just send me free parts. I'll be happy. Skier.
Mad props. I got to, like, vary it a little bit.
Fair enough. Hey, let's give it up to another person that we've totally hijacked from Mars Anime. Let's give it up to Smoothie.
Smoothie. Mad props, like cream curd.
Anyhow.
It's called tofu. Look it up, genius.
Thank you.
Should we do like something good, like turn the stage lights on for this to celebrate?
A little late now. We'll do it for Dead Sleb. We'll turn on some bright lights for Dead Sleb.
They don't work.
Fuck. Ass hat.
Dick.
Or in your case, crap hat. Anywho... Let's give it up to the next person in line. Hey, he's a Scientologist somehow. He also thinks that Macs are lined with gold, hence they are the computer users of the rich and gifted. Let's give it up for Taki.
Mad props.
I hope that's how you pronounce that.
So late now.
Hey, here's the man who's in charge of ArsAnime.com. We've raped him for all of his listeners and friends. And hey, just keep bringing him on. We like
but
it.
He gets to pass him around.
Absolutely. Sort of like sloppy seconds for us, but still.
Very nice.
Let's give it up for Toe.
Mad props.
And finally, oh, no, not finally. I'm sorry. Virtual One, VFTP.net. Let's give it up to him.
Yeah, why not? Give it up. You can give it up to Virtual One. Mad props. I'll just simply click my liquor.
Anywho, finally, let's give it up for the man, Vokuris. He's just the man. Just give him the props.
Props, unhappy, loathing, fear.
Oh, that was last week. All right.
I'm not doing goth props. Mad goth.
I need to do goth props. Just start moving. This music is not goth. This is Disney Homicide.
Yes, but since goth people don't listen to this right there, we're like not mainstream goth.
We're not mainstream goth. There you go. We are really out of the norm. All right, finally.
Finally nothing, dude.
Well, you know, the second little bit that we normally do, we've actually managed to make Mad Prop stretch for half a fucking hour. This is impressive.
Warned, don't break your arm patting yourself on the back. It's cracked.
Look like a retard running around. touch my back. Chase my fucking ass around. All right. You ready for the next cue of music?
Oh, God. Your kids are going to turn out to be just like you, man, and it's going to be pretty fucking scary.
Go ahead and let's cue the next bit. It's Roddy Piper! That's on Sunday night.
Either that or, you know, a fireman that died.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, it is now time for Dead Celebrity
of the Week.
Jesus Christ, thank you. Actually, this week's Dead Celebrity is a probable dead celebrity. It's not quite guaranteed he's dead, although some people say he is, our president.
Yeah.
Some people say he isn't. Yasser Arafat is in a coma and is in life or death situation.
But he's already been reported as dead, so we're going to go with that.
Oh, well, here's what I have from ABC News, actually. Yasser Arafat is in a coma, is in between life and death, although he's not brain dead. Doctors still have no diagnosis, but anxious Palestinian officials are already looking for ways to prevent unrest if their 75-year-old leader does die. I can assure you, says the doctor, there is no brain death. He is in a coma. We know that it's a type that, or excuse me, we don't know the type, but it's reversible.
Well, fuck, what kind of fucking coma is there?
Apparently there's a coma and a hellacious coma and a fucking coma. I don't know. Do I look like a doctor?
Okay, obviously there's different levels of comas.
Apparently.
There's the irreparable. There's nothing more we can do for him. And the other, there's a chance you just grab him and shake the living hell out of him.
Yeah, that'll finish it off. Fatality. Think about that.
Flawless victory.
By the way, they did find out that all vital organs are functioning, even though he's on somewhat of a life support
he's
system.
He's fucking dead.
Pretty much. So we'll say the probable dead celebrity of the week.
Who is already dead because...
Because our president said so. Yasser Arafat, 75 years old.
Yasser Arafat is dead. Poor Yasser.
I was waiting for Piper's Pit, actually.
Piper's Pit.
Get beat down by the wrestlers, you know. Piper, Mr. T, live at Healthy Rocks. No.
You're going down.
Everything in here fucking shook. Dude, I think the one floor brace that this whole building is built on just fucking had a heart attack. Like, oh, I can't do this shit. Yeah.
Well, the rent's cheap because they painted over the condemn sign.
Oh shit!
Taki is actually reminiscing about trolling.
Nice. Hey, by the way, a little bit of news here for you. Looks like the shuttle. We were talking about this actually, I think, during the break. But the shuttle is looking to return to flight in May 2005. Right now, they're saying that after two summer hurricanes delivered direct hits to the Space Center, scarring the mammoth vehicle assembly building where the shuttle orbiters are mated to booster rockets and external fuel tanks, that, you know, between that and the two other storms that missed but they still had to do prep, they've moved the launch window, which I didn't even know they had a launch window already, from March and April to May of 2005.
Wow, you know what that means? We're going to get back to work as quickly as we can to get government spending back on track.
Abso-friggin-lutely.
Without any system of checks and balances.
The Discovery is going to be the next shuttle up in the air. It will be the first one since Columbia disintegrated over Texas in February of 2003, which, of course, as we know, killed all seven people, astronauts even, on board. The shuttle program has about 28 flights remaining on its books before the orbiters are scheduled to be mothballed towards the end of this decade. All are in support of an international space station, the shuttles that is, and they are actually looking to continue that and keep that under construction, considering the fact that shit's failing miserably on there. The delays, of course, have led backed everything up. NASA almost scrapped the shuttle program earlier, but they're going to continue with it, and they are still going to begin work on the exploration program, which is a shuttle successor. Anyhow, the next program that comes in after the shuttle will have a goal of returning astronauts to the moon and establishing permanent bases there.
Why?
And then aiming
for
Mars.
For what purpose?
Probably testing. I mean, I don't know how much harder it is to get a person off the moon as on the moon if they're dead, but I think the main purpose of this is going to be to develop a jump base, to be completely honest.
Can I ask you a question here?
Sure.
Who owns the moon?
No one owns the moon.
So no one owns the moon. It's just fucking free territory.
The moon is technically free territory
There's no agreement like there is for Antarctica.
That's correct. As far as I know, so I could be wrong.
We got to hurry up and buy the moon, man.
Yeah, well, there's a guy
Chinese want to go.
There's a guy that supposedly sells deeds for the sky.
Dude, that's bullshit.
Just
man.
Saying. I think there's someone out there that
check
actually
check this out. I can tell you right now how that's disproven that shit is fake.
Okay, please disprove how that shit is fake.
Okay, California, San Bernardino County and Los Angeles County, they wanted to figure out a way to make more revenue. So what they were trying to do was charge companies that own satellites that were stationary over their terrestrial plane, even though they were only in orbit, property taxes.
Oh, that's fucking heinous.
Yeah, because they were in their county jurisdiction.
Interesting.
And that was thrown out in court. So that's why I don't believe that shit.
Now, I will say this. Right now, that NASA does have to work on developing as what they call a carefree life support system, basically because there's no fucking way that we're going to be able to go to the moon when you have months and months and months of travel time. And if shit breaks down, parts definitely are not a call away at the local home, you know, Home Depot.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting how they manage that shit.
It is. I think it will be. It's going to be scary if you really think about it, though.
I was reading the chat room right here. Akari says they're going to put his brain into a robot, and it'll be Arafat's prime, because Reverend Hammer believes that Yasser Arafat's brain's now in a jar. I don't believe he'll be Yasser's prime. If Yasser Arafat's brain ends up in a jar, it'll be labeled Abby Normal.
Oh, jeez.
I'm serious. That guy's fucking crazy, man. You know, although if I had my pick, I probably would have wanted Schroen to have gone first.
Well, who knows? I mean, you have a situation where one of the people who either we're trying, my understanding, we're trying to keep peace, dies. What shit's going to hit the fan then?
Yeah, but you know what? With Yasser Arafat, yeah, he was a fucking radical dude, and he mellowed in his old age, yeah. But fucking Ariel Sharon won't. Ariel Sharon has already built a big fucking wall around Israel.
Nice.
I got to say, man, you know, Israel, I can't back them in the war on terror. They have the Palestinians have fucking legitimate claim to land.
Mm-hmm.
They said Israel said, "Hey, we're going to stay within our borders right here, and we're not going to go any further." Okay, fine. So that land's yours. And what do? They try to fucking expand.
I'm sorry. Oh, well, that's the main issue here. I mean, you can talk about this group doing this or this group doing that, or we're doing this and they're doing that, but the basis of everything here is the fact that whether America comes out and says it or not, we do help Israel a lot. Why do you think their Air Force is so good?
And who do you think comes over here and trains our special forces? I mean, Israeli military is insane. I mean, they are, like, you know, you want to talk about hardcore military.
Why do you think the Muslims get mad at us?
Oh, yeah.
Because we're helping.
Yeah.
I mean, we're not directly helping them.
But we're playing sides. We're playing sides. We're not being too obvious about it, but we are playing sides. Pure and simple.
Yeah, and like I say, dude, I can't.
Just like the Kurds, they're right there in Iraq and Turkey. They got nowhere to go. They got no land.
No, they don't have anything. You know.
So what do they resort to when the people, whether it's the Turks or the Iraqs, killing their people? What are they going to resort to? Of course, they're going to have to do terrorism because they don't have anything.
Yeah,
exactly.
And what's very interesting about that is
same with the Palestinians. What are they going to do? They're just, oh, they'll just kill us all. We don't care. They're going to have to fight. The only way they can fight is just killing themselves.
Yeah, exactly.
And you know what's very interesting about that with a thing of terrorism? You know what really kind of opened my eyes to something?
Hmm.
I don't know if I think I might have told you this, but I don't believe it was on the show. And I know you've never heard this, definitely. I have an old videotape because I'm a DeLorean guy. And I have like collections of video stuff, and I have one for an interview with John DeLorean.
Mm-hmm.
It was done back in about 1984 or so. And it was on some talk show, long defunct.
Okay.
Nobody be famous. And one of the things that they had gotten interrupted for previous to this was some sort of terrorism act on an airplane over in Europe. Sometimes.
Okay.
And they sidetracked and they asked DeLorean, so what's your take on that? And he had one of the greatest responses I'd ever heard. He goes, well, the problem here is, man, he goes, you know, one man's terrorist is another man's freedom fighter. He goes, we can't simply go around and label somebody who does heinous stuff like that terrorist because, yeah, it terrorizes people, but what the hell do you think Minutemen were? America had its own terrorists in the war.
You know, there's
not that I'm fucking condoning terrorism, saying, you know, it's great, you know, I can understand you're not getting your way. If you're not getting your way, that's fucked up. But, like, at the same time, we have to look at why people are fucking attacking.
Okay. It's funny because some stories you watch, some groups are doing the same thing as, let's say, like the Muslim groups are doing.
Right.
But some of them considered militants. Some are considered rebels.
Right.
The same thing.
Right, totally.
Words.
You know, and it's what side are you on? I mean, come on. The Nazis thought they were on the right side. You know, we thought we were on the right side. You know, technically, yeah, in the long run, we obviously were. But it's all in the propaganda and how you approach it. I mean, that's what I mean. I'm not trying to say one side's
right. I don't
agree
with... whether you're a rebel, militant, whatever the hell, you know, even of our side, involving kids, like the thing in Russia with the...
Yeah,
that's kind of a little overboard,
up.
You know?
Yeah.
Kids got nothing to do with it.
No,
to blow
no.
someone up, blow, you know...
Kids don't have a good grasping concept of what they would be doing.
They are truly neutral.
Yeah, they truly are. Only
that's
time
when I think you cross the line.
When you bring a kid into it.
You know, being maybe a rebel or a militant... to protecting yourself, to being just brutal.
Okay. By the way, you are listening to Spank Wagon Radio.
Only available at spankwagon.net, the end of the internet.
I'm Trencher, he's Claude, and we have our guest, Captain Anonymous Squad, here.
Is that the last website that is...
Before the illegal stuff.
Oh.
Yeah, that's right, baby.
On the superhighway.
Actually, we're the next to last, you know.
So what's before you on the superhighway?
Not much, man.
You know, it's actually
just a desert.
Where we deny anything else exists.
Nothing but is no. before us. Nothing is after us. That's worth viewing. Something like that.
Indeed, but no, like I said, it's very funny about Yasser Arafat, man. Bush gets fucking reelected. Okay, things are going to be different. We're going to act responsibly. Reports on Arafat's death. So what does he fucking
do? What did
he
say though? Exactly. Do you remember?
Yeah, he says Arafat's dead. He gave his condolences and blah, blah, blah.
And yet it wasn't confirmed that he was dead yet.
Yeah. So
our president, who was voted by the... was popular voted and was electoral college voted, who said he's turning over a new cheek and going to, you know, does the same shit again.
Well, I mean, it's not... I mean, he just needs to get rid of a couple of people that are working for him.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, there's a little problem here. There was a computer glitch in Ohio... where 3,000
votes 3,000
were counted for Kerry in one precinct.
Hmm.
So the question is, wait a second. If everything goes smoothly and the Democrats concede...
well, that's what they've done. They've already conceded.
There's a caller that... I was listening to some AM talk show. I mentioned on the show I do, but... He's from Puerto Rico, and he speaks pretty good English, so he's obviously lived here for a while. But in Puerto Rico, when they do elections, they have these cards, voter cards, and they do, like, punch holes in them, and it's good for 10 years.
Okay.
And that's one thing. That's, like, your ID voter card.
Uh-huh.
Two, you have, like, a thumbprint. I don't know if it's electrical but they take your thumbprint.
Okay, so they
keep
can...
track of it.
See, now, the newer voting machines that I used when I voted just this past Tuesday... It was an electronic voting machine. Obviously, it was one of those proprietary Windows ones. It also had a paper receipt backup.
It would print the paper. You couldn't take the receipt or anything for your own. It was in the sealed system, and it unrolled, printed, rolled back up. That way they could count the votes not only by the computer and the computer cards.
Oh, I see.
And by the way, you also got a card when you walked in there. They gave you a card. They programmed it to turn it on. It was a smart card, one of the little microchip technology. You put it in the machine, you make your vote, you return the card. So not only did you have the hard drive of the machine, you had the card, you had the paper backup.
So it's kind of hard to screw that up, I guess.
It's kind of hard to screw it up, but people will still make a huge deal over the fact that a machine would crash in the middle of your voting process or things like that.
Well,
those
they have
machines,
backups?
You know, they don't have backups for those. I mean, they have the regular machines. Now, I will say that, you know, electronic voting, like what Diebold was doing, is wrong. They had no accountability. But whatever we used here in Nevada had a lot of accountability, a lot of built-in accountability. And that's all everyone really was asking for. They were just asking to say, hey, I want to make sure I made my vote right, you know, if it comes into question. I got the backup. Now, and some of our machines don't have that. It has a cartridge-based hard drive system. You punch in the buttons, you then go ahead and, you know, you punch in the buttons, it saves it. If we lose one of those, you lose one of those. There is no recovery. There is no redundancy. And that's what's needed, is redundancy, you know, double-checking your shit. But like your guy you talked to or whatever said, you know, you covered this morning or whatever your show is, that, you know, you have the thumbprint, you have the punch card. You know, if you didn't vote and you want to try to claim it, you're busted, you know.
Yeah.
But it's the redundancy that's necessary. The fact that you vote is one thing, but the fact that they could pull your vote up three different ways to Sunday, that's another thing.
Yeah, see, and the problem is, too, if we did, you know, we're borderlining on it right now about how fascist we're going to be. You know, I don't want my – I mean, it's important to make sure that, yes, I, as an individual, voted, but I don't think that my vote should be linked to me. Counted, yes, not linked to me. For fear of future persecution.
So why do you want to take the human element out of it here?
Well, I know he wants to make it more anonymous. Voting, you know, should be anonymous. And mine was anonymous. I mean, it wasn't, okay, what we did here, it was anonymous. You know, I mean, they didn't take my name or anything like that down. They didn't do any of that. They just saved it redundantly, you know, receipt on paper, hard drive backup, and the memory chip. You know, that's much different.
Kind of like that movie War Games, where they take the human element out of launching nukes.
Nukes, exactly. It's a game. It's a computer game at that. So, oh, by the way, why don't you take a look here? He has your video of the week selection. So there you go.
I don't know if I'd want to see that. I don't want to see terrors from the clit.
It's supposed to be pretty good, man. It's
oh,
world
it?
Class.
Man. World class prawn. So anyhow.
Let me see if I can get him. Pack cover on this. This looks too good to pass up. I'm thinking I should buy this.
He should buy this. There
He's
you
a
go.
Porn fiend, huh?
Oh, he is. Yeah, totally. Yeah, look at him. Yeah. The only reason he grows sideburns to cover up what he has on his hands.
Yeah, that's right. What are you talking about?
All right, Spank Wagon Radio. By the way,
oh, dude, look at that, dude. Zombie prawn.
I don't want to see. Oh, come on. They're rubber masks. They're wearing fucking rubber masks, and that's called zombie prawn? Oh, that's heinous.
Hey,
you lose two cool points.
I lost two cool points.
You lost two cool points by showing us rubber mask zombie prawn. Bring up the chat room. I'd rather look at them. Jesus Christ.
Let's see. Shit, if it's that easy, I'll start jacking people and voting for them in 2 years.
There you go.
Stealing votes.
Yeah, you're going to see someone
souls.
Like cut off a bunch of thumbs, walk in there. And
well, and maybe in Puerto Rico.
Yeah, Puerto Rico.
those Puerto Ricans are pretty crazy, as we all know.
Yeah, thumb thieves.
Thumb thieves.
I stole your thumb. I can vote for you.
Man was caught today with a pouch of 20 thumbs.
Jesus Christ.
Visions of, like, Demolition Man have come into my head.
Yeah, now. It's kind of what I'm thinking as well, you know. Your vote, your vote, and your vote. I'll get to all of you in there soon. You're all thumbs, I know. Vote or vote.
Yeah, but the problem with thumb tracking voting is, you know, there's really nothing to stop.
What's next? DNA voting?
No, there's nothing to stop dead people from voting.
Yeah, the Mormons already figured out that dead people can be converted to Mormonism post-mortem, so
yes,
posthumously. Why not have them vote posthumously? That's great.
There was an argument about that.
Let me guess.
Florida,
yeah.
Early registration. If somebody dies after they submit their early registration vote for president or for anything, should that vote still be counted?
Well, yeah, because they already voted.
No, it should not count. They're
dead.
And actually,
they're no longer productive
members of
society.
And you know, they're no longer part of society. They're no longer part of the machine. And if they're dead,
they already voted.
The thing is, here's the trick: it's getting that vote out of the system. It's not going to happen. So it's right now, unless they can track your bio stats based
on
how
many people. How many people are going to die from the time they vote? Actually, I mean,
look at early voting. We had early voting that almost lasted a month here.
Well, yeah. Okay, then put a stipulation. If you're over if you're over 6 years old,
you get
can't
a half
vote,
vote
early. No, you can't vote early. You got to vote.
Oh,
on
now
that.
You're age discrimination. Now you're doing age discrimination.
Well,
hey, you lose there.
Damn it, you can't have it both ways. No voting or no driving.
What?
Long story. You know, old people driving. When to pull the license? Shit. But
as soon as they, I don't know. Because there are some old people that can still drive, but...
No, they can't. They're old.
Oh, Jesus. It's a stonewall argument. Don't even get into it. We don't have enough time just to hear him go on.
Hey, man, you know, like a few years ago when I worked for Nevada State Bank, I heard this urban legend that...
urban legend.
Urban legend.
Suburban legend?
No, suburban. Urban legend. Well, it could be suburban. Anyhow, that
garage... Chevy V8 legend. The legend of the Chevrolet Suburban.
Go ahead.
Get on your shit. We got to wrap.
So anyhow, I was told that garage door openers would.
Oh God!
What?
I was told that garage door openers would cause people's pacemakers to malfunction and could give old people a heart attack. So I drove through Sun City,
which is the old folk neighborhood Vegas.
Yeah, I got you.
And what I was doing is I was just like clicking my garage door opener at old people, and no one died.
You know what's the word? The one that pisses me off the most? Those people that have I forgot what it's called, but they were driving and then they'll just get a seizure.
Epilepsy.
Yeah, I hate... How the fuck do they...
You hate epilepsics.
See, I hate the fact that they're driving. I'm like, dude, they can have a seizure anytime.
Yes, they can.
Driving,
they
that's
can.
Bullshit.
A couple things before we have to wrap up the show.
I think you should have maybe the government pay for someone to drive you around.
Oh, fuck you.
No,
that's
my money. No, you see, here's the thing. My dad had a grand mal seizure about 10 years ago. Because they don't know what's going on. It was a one-time thing. They actually pulled him off the road for a year. Drove him fucking nuts. Drove us fucking nuts.
No, well,
here's the thing. I remember back home, though. One day I was downtown, and a woman had a seizure, took out a lamppost, took out parking meters. Lots of free change there, too. You know, wiped out all the, like, two city blocks worth of parking meters and poles and lights and everything. Yeah, that shit's scary, but that's the same thing as your car malfunctioning, you having a heart attack. You have a chance of a heart attack probably about the same much as you have a chance of getting epilepsy. Or having an epileptic seizure. Should we take your fucking shit away because, hey, you eat red meat?
What?
That's kidding.
That's the greatest counter argument I've ever heard.
I can't win an argument like that, huh?
That's great, dude.
Dude, I'm not going to get a heart attack, dude. I play hockey.
So we already know you're going to be brain damaged. Well, all right, Claude, hit the music.
Not like he said he was going to, like, fucking, you know, he's an athlete in bowls. I heard a couple.
Bowler. You're not a professional bowler.
Well, those are the best athletes, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Sit for a little, a ball.
So what do you get when you throw an epileptic into a lettuce patch? Seizure salad. I heard the most tasteless. I heard the most tasteless
that
fucked up
was
joke.
Bad.
Today.
That was horrible.
It was. But I heard the most tasteless joke today on the radio on the fucking oldies station here. How do you turn a fruit into a vegetable?
Oh. You unplug Roy's life support system.
No. How do you turn a fruit into a vegetable? You let him play the white tiger. Then they said that shit on the air.
Same deal. Yeah, how do you turn a fruit? I had the gist. Hit the music.
We're going to do something different.
I don't want to hear this.
I like this. It's cool.
This is not ending music.
You don't want this song? What do you want to hear?
Get the good ending music that we've been really enjoying these past few weeks.
Oh, fucking.
If we overplayed the other one, we're going to overplay this one.
Fine.
This is ending music, goddammit.
What's this off of? I've heard this somewhere before.
Surf Gold.
Alrighty, ladies and gentlemen, you've been a privileged listener of
Spank Wagon Radio! Only at spankwagon.net!
Where the hell that come from? Hey, I've been your host, Trencher.
I, of course, am the irrefutable Claude Balls.
We want to thank our guests, our big, important guest, Dr. Bob and his son, for coming on and sharing some interesting stories and information with us.
They even had their own,
websites and
websites and
books and magazines and
The word completely just escaped.
Don't worry about it. I want to thank
Posse.
Posse, yes. I want to thank the amazing invisible mystery guest. Thanks for just hanging out with us here. Also want to say a big thank you to all our listeners. Again, you deserve more props than we ever give you. We thank you for tuning in. I want to say thank you to all of our syndicates. First off, the mothership here, LVRocks.com. Want to say a big thank you to PlanetRadio.us. And big thank you to Radio306.com. All our syndicators and syndicates, we like you. We almost love you.
Is that a word?
Just keep playing us. Kiss ass.
And we'll keep bringing you the rock and roll intellectual discussions.
Oh, Jesus Christ. All right. Big thank you to ArsAnime.com for letting us leech off their people. And a big thank you to Left Wing Army for being, well, Smack. By the way, if you can catch Smack this Wednesday on some of these stations, or go to LVRocks.com, check out Subject to Discussion. Smack will be there. I'm your host, Trencher.
I, of course, am Club Balls.
We'll see you next week.
Spank Wagon Radio. Thank you.